The story is told of a Baptist church that was looking for a new minister, a new pastor. And it searched for a while, and finally they found the one who they felt they wanted to be their pastor. And they invited him, and he came gladly. And on the first Sunday, he preached a sermon, and it was one that moved the people who were there. And after the sermon, they said to each other, "What a good choice we've made. What a good minister we have chosen to come and be our pastor. How much we look forward to the way that under him, this church will grow." The second week, as he came and as he preached again, many amongst the congregation said, "This is the sermon he preached last week." But they said to each other, they said, "But it was so good, it was really worth hearing it again." And every time we hear it, we'll find something new in it. And so they went away gladly. The third week came, and they got the same sermon again. There was a little bit more muttering, but they said, "Well, we'll give him one more chance." And the fourth week came, and yes, he preached the same sermon for the fourth time. And afterwards, after a hurried consultation and after a number of complaints from the members of the congregation, they came to him and they said, "Pastor, we think you're a very sincere person. And your sermon that you preached is really, really wonderful. But we are wondering if you've got a second sermon." And the pastor said, "Of course I have. But I'm still waiting for you to act on the first one. Still waiting for you to act on the first one." I don't know how many sermons you will have heard during your life on the subject of love. And yet, here we are again with this as the theme of our reading, the theme of our service. I'm not sure there is anything new that I have to say on the subject in many ways. And yet, we have this need, time and time again, to remember or to remind ourselves of that need for us to be shaped by love, to be shaped to be God's people doing God's will here and now. I don't know about you. I don't know how many times I've thought about this subject, and I don't know how many times when I find myself still not being the loving person who I want to be, or the loving person that I think God is asking us to be, and that Jesus showed us how to be. I still find myself from time to time thinking thoughts that I would rather not think about people, finding my level of patience with people diminishing, sometimes quite rapidly, where I feel that I am letting God down by not truly following these commands to love God, to love one another. I'm not sure if another sermon on love is going to help me do that. And yet, that need to be reminded strikes me again and again, to make me sit up and make me think about the way that I relate to people, about the things that I don't do that I would want to do, and the things I do, as Paul said, that I don't want to do. In one of John's letters, he writes fairly bluntly, "The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both." That's the transliteration of that little passage from John's letter, as it's written in the Message. For me, there is that real sense that for me to love God has to be shown in the way that I love other people, in the way that we think of others, the way that we care for others, the way that sometimes we challenge others, but the way that our hearts are full, as that song says, with the compassion that is of God. The compassion for all people. A compassion which reaches out. A compassion that embraces and holds. A compassion that accepts and allows people to find their shape in God because they find a welcome, a home where they can be safe. Safe to grow. Safe to be themselves. Safe and secure in the knowledge that they are loved. Not loved just by God, but loved by the people in that community. I quoted this quote a few months ago here. You're getting it again. Olga Kazan, who said, "The community you end up in should be somewhere where you can let your weirdness shine. The community you end up in should be somewhere you can let your weirdness shine." I think that's a lovely, lovely statement. Whatever our weirdness in that sense is, we can find a place where we can be safe to express it. Safe to be ourselves, the person who we are meant to be, the person who we are, if you like, created and grow into being. A place where truly not only can we be ourselves, but we can offer who we are back into that community. Satish Kumar wrote Earth Pilgrim, and they say this: "Love is to love diversity, and diversity is not division. Love is to love unity, and unity is not uniformity. We are all one, and we are all different. Unity and diversity complement each other. It is wonderful that we have so many religions, cultures, languages, and ways of living in the world. It's like being in a garden of 1,000 flowers. Like being in a garden of 1,000 flowers. That's the beauty, isn't it, of diversity. If your garden just had one thing in it, you'd look around and you might enjoy that one thing for a while, but every now and again you'd say, "I wish there was something different in here." Diversity shows us the tremendous diversity, the range of things, and the range of people we can be. But in that diversity, we can always also find unity. I'm doing a course at the moment with people at Stamford Avenue called Windows into Other Faiths. I'm not sure whether I'm doing it very well, because after the first week, there were a number of people who'd come to that course who said, oh, we could be Hindu. Oh, no, actually, we could be Sikh. We could be Sikh. Because central to that faith were things that they found in common with our Christian faith, with the teachings of Jesus. And when we look at other faiths too, I have a poster on my computer, which I've printed off a couple of times in different places, and it has a wheel on it with about 14 of the major world religions, and all having in common that sense of loving one another. Do unto others as you would have done to you, or don't do to others what you don't want done to you. Central. In our diversity, we can still find unity that can bind us together to live God's ways here on earth. The way of love, the way of inclusivity, the way of caring and sharing, the way of compassion, that all may have, that all may eat, that all may have a roof. For love is not just a word that we speak, love is an action that we take. If our love is just words, it no longer is love. Love is action. Action in the world. It's why many Methodists have become activists in various areas. It's why we have people who are chaplains for HIV chaplaincy, or in the forces, or anywhere else. Chaplains in hospital, in care homes. Love in action. When we sing our final song this morning, you will see that as the last line of the last verse. Love in action is what we need. Not pity, where we look down on people and say, oh, poor them. But the kind of action which makes us, which stirs us to be active in our communities, so that for others, life may be improved. Here's another quote from a few months ago. It's from The Charter of Compassion by Karen Armstrong. A compassionate city, she writes, is an uncomfortable city. A city that is uncomfortable when anyone is homeless or hungry. Uncomfortable if every child isn't loved and given rich opportunities to grow and thrive. Uncomfortable when, as a community, we don't treat our neighbours as we would wish to be treated. I want to be part of an uncomfortable church. Part of an uncomfortable church. One that looks out at our city and our world and says it isn't as it should be. It isn't as it's meant to be. And then be a people who do what we can to change it. It's why I'm proud being in the Methodist Church. I'm not proud of being a Methodist in many ways, but I am proud being in the Methodist Church with our sense of inclusivity, the God in Love Unites Us report, the fact that we welcome, include people of all genders and sexualities that we celebrate their weddings. It's why I'm proud to be part of this circuit where we have been come and churches of sanctuary and circuit of sanctuary. For making these statements is love in action. And it's part of our calling. And I could not be a part of a church now that wasn't part of that. I would be vastly uncomfortable. But there's still times, I'm sure, where we know, where we recognize in our community that we are not always as loving as we should be, as welcoming as we should be, as open as we should be. And it's my hope that as the months move on, we will look at those, we will find those areas, and we will take the right steps to change them. That this place would be seen to be a beacon of love, a place where all can come and find safety, security, refuge, where all can find a home and feel as though they can be part, not just being served by us, but by serving us as well. That they too are able to love us, to love our community, and to share their love. I'm sure this isn't going to be the last sermon I ever preach on love. We need to be reminded, and we need to refresh ourselves. And I pray that we will do so with that honesty and that openness. And in that, that we can remind ourselves of the things we do and we do well, but that we mustn't rest on any kind of complacency and say we've got it all sorted, but constantly strive. Strive to do as John Wesley might have said, do all the good you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, whenever you can. May God's love be our love, that this town, this city, would know the heart of God. Amen.